I'm going to start in the book of Luke, Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 11. And I don't think there's any passage that I'm going to read tonight that you've not already heard for sure from Brother Billy or from teaching. They're very important scriptures. There's lessons in each of these passages of scripture. But there's something that I wanted to pull out today. I knew I was going to be speaking tonight. And so all week long I'd been preparing and looking at something in particular. And then on the radio today, on the way here this morning, we were listening to the Christian station and a lady was giving a testimony and she said something that just struck me. And so I want to, Lord willing, I want to focus on that tonight and what we're going to read and talk about. Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 11, the Word of God says, "And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' And when he saw them, he said unto them, 'Go, shew yourselves unto the priests.' And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger.' And he said unto him, 'Arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole.'" Reading out of the book of Luke there, we don't understand what leprosy is today because we don't have to face that kind of disease. But if you'll think back in that day and time, leprosy was a horrible, horrible disease. They were standing afar off because they couldn't come around people when you were leprosy. You couldn't be a part of the camp of Israel in the Old Testament if you had leprosy. It's a horrible disease. And here are these 10 men standing there crying out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." They understand the state that they're in and how much they want to be changed. But then we see only one man come back. As they're walking away and they're doing what Jesus told them to do, they're cleansed. Their leprosy is gone. And one man immediately recognizes what's going on. He sees and feels the change in his body. And when he recognizes and realizes he saw that he was healed, what the scripture said, he turned and came back and with a loud voice glorified God. Now, I don't know about you, but we can do some basic math, some assumptive math on that. 1 out of 10, that's 10%. We could do some assumptive math here in this congregation tonight and say that 1 out of 10 of us, if we had a miracle that was performed amongst us, only 1 out of 10, according to this, just looking at this particular passage, would come back and give thanks to Jesus for that. That's a pretty startling number when you stop and consider it. Are you the 1 out of the 10? If a miracle of God came and gave you that kind of miracle, would you be the one who recognized it and came back and gave thanks for it? Those numbers don't look great. It's not really what's on my heart. That just stirred me as I was thinking about that day. But what's on my heart for us to look at tonight is found in verse 15, and again it repeats it in verse 18. It says, "He turned back and with a loud voice glorified God." With a loud voice. He saw that he was cleansed. And he didn't just come back and say to Jesus, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." No, he came back and he said, "Thank you, Jesus, thank you," with a loud voice. His excitement, it was beyond himself to understand what had just happened to him. But he knew to give God the glory. He glorified God. Repeats it there in verse 18. Jesus is saying, "There are not found that return to give glory to God except this stranger." This stranger, this Samaritan, this leprosy man. One, for the most part, people in the society would have already discarded. A miracle has happened, and he's the only one who turned back. But what I want us to focus on tonight, Lord willing, is that he gave God the glory. That's what struck me this morning. This lady on the radio, she was talking about back in November, their house burned. 4 weeks later, she got in a car wreck and had some damage to her car, but also to her. Then in January, her husband lost his job. The place is working closed down. And just one thing after another, the odds begin to stack up. And I think if we look at the statistics, looking at these numbers, a lot of people would just give up. A lot of people would say, "God, why did you?" But she was one of the one. On that radio this morning, I heard her go through each of those things. She said, "But we will give God the glory for what he is doing in our lives." That's a great blessing. God has already performed a miracle in her life. For her to be able to understand and see that she needs to give God the glory for what's happened. So we can look at it, and there are several different passages of scriptures that I do want us to cover tonight, but what I want us to look at is the different ways, because we all could stop in here and think about the things that God has done in our life, but the ways that you and I tonight and the rest of our life can begin to give God the glory. And as I was looking today, there are more scriptures than we could ever begin to account for here. I've tried to pick out a couple of passages. Move forward in your Bible with me to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 3. There's a passage here that I want us to look at. Acts chapter 3, beginning in verse 2. The Bible says, Acts chapter 3, beginning in verse 2, it says, "A certain man and a certain lame man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God." Walking and leaping and praising God. That's what this individual did. He didn't turn to Peter and John and say, "Oh my gosh, I cannot believe what you guys just did." He didn't just start dancing on his feet because he could walk now. No, he walked and leaped, but he praised God. And that's one of the ways that we can give God the glory for the things that he does do in our life every single day. The church that Doris and I were members at over in Offerman, Brother Ronnie Foster was the pastor. And I love Brother Ronnie, a great man of God. And one of the things that I enjoyed about him is any time that someone brought him good news or gave a testimony of what was going on in their lives, his response was always, "Praise God, praise God." To give God the glory, we have to understand that what happened here was not James and Peter who were doing this miracle, and they even spoke it in the name of Jesus Christ, but the one who receives it, you could almost get lost in just the excitement of what's happened. You could get lost in the excitement. I can walk again. I can dance. I can leap and jump up. But this man here in this particular passage of Scripture did not forget to praise God. And brethren, one of the things that we can do whenever we do see God at work in our lives, whether it's great like this or even in the small things, is to stop and give glory to God by praising Him. We can say praise to God. We can sing hymns of worship. We can account for what He's doing in our lives and tell other people. But what we need to do is give God the glory. Give God the glory for what He is doing. He deserves it. He is the one who is at work in our lives and doing these things. This man praised God. And when he praised God, he gave God the glory. The other man with a loud voice, he praised God for the leprosy being cleansed, and he gave God the glory. Go with me, go backwards with me into the book of Matthew, chapter 9. It's another miracle that Jesus has done that we see recorded in Scripture. And I've heard several sermons from this. Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 28, the Scripture says, "And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, 'Believe you that I'm able to do this?' They said unto him, 'Yes, Lord.' Then touched he their eyes, saying, 'According to your faith be it unto you.' And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, 'See that no man know it.' But they," this miracle has just happened to them, "but they, when they departed, they spread abroad his fame into all that country." Do you hear what they did to glorify God, to give God the glory for that? "But they," because of this miracle that's performed in their life, "they gave God all the glory by going out and spreading his fame abroad, sharing the testimony of what he has done in their life. That their sight, what they have is because of what Jesus Christ has done in their life." Brother, whenever God does a miracle in our lives, do you take the time to spread it abroad? Do you take the time to share with other people what Christ has done? Or are you ashamed of it? Or do you want to covet and have it your own? Or do you want to take glory for it? Or do you want to give it to the doctors whenever they've done the work that God's used them to do the work on your body? Or do you spread it abroad? This is what Jesus Christ has done in our life. They proclaimed, and I can imagine these people when they went out, they didn't just say it. They were like that man in the first passage. They said it loud. "Look at what God has done for me." They said it loud. These men in this particular passage, they went out and they spread it abroad. The man before, he praised God. The man before that glorified God. He sung it aloud. He said it aloud. What do we do to praise God? Go forward just a little bit. Matthew chapter 20. I want to read another passage here for us. Matthew chapter 20, beginning in verse 30. The Scripture says, "And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David.' Now they cried out." They knew who they were talking to. "And the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David.' And Jesus stood still and called them and said, 'What will you that I shall do unto you?' They say unto him, 'Lord, that our eyes may be opened.' So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him." There's been times in my life where God has done a work in my life. He's done a miracle. and I should have given him glory, and I do with my mouth, and I'll give him credit for what he's done. And then I go back and I get busy doing what I typically do in the busyness of my schedule. These men here, the way that they gave God the glory for what he had done in their life is they followed him. They followed him. They didn't just accept the miracle that had been happened. They knew and understood who gave them that miracle, or else they wouldn't have been following him. They gave God the glory, brethren, by following him. And I could go scripture after scripture. There's so many different examples of different men and women of God in scripture where God does a miracle of some sort, or they have an understanding of some sort. And whenever that understanding or that miracle is performed, what they do in response to that is they begin to praise God and give him the glory, whether it's in praise and worship. King David in the Old Testament danced before him. There's all kinds of different examples that we could look at. But it's not just in those big things as well. I mean, this is a great miracle. We can look at a man whose eyes were just given sight, or a man who's never been able to walk, and now his ankles have strength to him, and he can walk. Those are great miracles, which is a great blessing, unbelievable kind of things in our worldly mindset. That's unbelievable to happen. But it happened because that's what God intended to happen for his purpose and his glory. And the men, when it happened to them, they gave the glory to God. But brethren, it's not just those big things. I'm not someone who's ever had blindness or paralysis or anything like that. How's God worked in my life? And do I give him the glory for it? And as I was thinking on that particular piece, there was a passage of scripture in 2 Corinthians. You don't have to turn there. It's a couple of verses. I'm going to read them very quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 is where I'm at. And it says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." A lot of comforts there. What that's basically saying is God comforts us. There's been times where many of you have come up and given me a hug. That is a type of comfort. And I appreciate your hugs. I appreciate your words of encouragement. But give God the glory for it, because God knew that I needed that at that time. And because we have been given comfort from God, we're able then to comfort other people. And every time that you do that and God moves you to comfort someone, or every time you receive that comfort from someone, praise God. Give God the glory for what just happened. Because even in that small thing, maybe it's a small word that they spoke, but they just touched your heart deeply. Or it's just a look sometimes. I can walk in my mama's house, and she can look at me and immediately know something's wrong with me. And then with that comforting hug, provide comfort to me. And I appreciate my mom, but God's the one who instilled that in her. God's the one who gave her that ability to have that kind of discernment. And God's the one who gave her that softness of that hug. Give God the glory for those small things. And it's even here in this particular scripture, we looked at comfort, but it starts out giving God the glory for it. Verse 3 says, "Blessed be God." And there's scriptures that tell us to bless his holy name, to bless him, to bless God. Brother, there's so many ways, whether it's big miracles that we look at, or whether it's the small things that sometimes we take for granted, that we can begin to glorify God in everything, because he's the one who deserves that glory. Go with me to the book of Philippians, chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. It reads, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision, which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." It's Paul talking. And if I could take, sometimes I wish that I could just see the emotion and the zeal and the fervency of him saying some of these things in Scripture. Because the first thing he says, finally, my brethren, rejoice, rejoice in the Lord, rejoice in the Lord. Give God the glory is what he is saying here. Rejoice in the Lord. Look at what's happened in my life. I was a Pharisee of the Pharisee, a stock of the tribe. I was one of the best and brightest of the Pharisees that you could find. But look at what God has done in my life. I was killing Christians, he could say. But look at what God has done in my life. That day I was traveling on the road to Damascus, Jesus Christ came and talked to me. Brethren, every one of us in here can speak the same type of testimony. There's been a time in our life where Jesus has talked to us. He's spoken to us. It's a great blessing that we, as individuals, live in a day and a time where God himself, in the form of his Holy Spirit, dwells within us. God talks to us. He communes with us. He fellowships with us. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord, brethren. Give God the glory. Don't rejoice in yourself because you have some kind of wisdom or discernment. Don't rejoice in yourself because you're here and not out there doing other things. Rejoice in the Lord. Give God all the glory for it. And that's what Paul does in this passage. Verse 1, rejoice in the Lord, he says. Verse 3, rejoice in Christ Jesus. You know, and time and time again, and he gives examples of ways that he gives God the glory. He counts certain things but dung. Brethren, there's certain things in our life, some things in my life sometimes that I want and I get caught up in and I get sucked into. Those things are but dung. The way that you and I can give God the glory is to count those but dung. Doesn't mean that we can't have things, that God doesn't bless us with things, but the reason that I have anything that I have is because God has blessed me with it. To God be the glory. Give him the glory for it. The reason that I have the struggles that I have, we talked in Bible study this morning, the book of James, count it joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Why can you count it joy? Because God's glory is there in the midst of that as well. And as we count on him, as we rely on him and put our faith and trust in him, and that tribulation begins to work a matter of patience in our hearts, to God be the glory. I read that long passage because you see the rejoice, but then verse 14 at the bottom, one of my favorites, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. We all get weary and tired. We all get frustrated and struggle. We get depressed and despondent. We want to give up at times. We feel like we face insurmountable problems and obligations or situations in our life, but God is bigger and God does, and he already has, and he will continue to deliver us from those situations. And the way that we can give God the glory is just as Paul says here in this particular passage, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Brethren, whether we're pressing toward the mark, whether we're rejoicing like Paul does here in this passage, whether we're saying praise God, whether we are spreading his name abroad, whether we're calling upon the name of God, whatever we do, it's my prayer that we take time to stop and think about giving God the glory for it. Whether I stay silent in the midst of someone's trouble, that my silence may be giving God glory. Whether I speak up whenever someone needs a word, that my words that speak will give God the glory. So I pray that each of us, we take some of these thoughts and we think about it. That lady on that radio program today, her story, very simple. I think it was probably 30 seconds, if that. You know how those blurps on the radio are. But in that 30 seconds, she gave glory to God. And whether anybody else in the world heard it, I did, and it touched my heart. And my prayer for you and I, if I've represented God's word here correctly, is that you and I begin to give God the glory for it.